Let us turn again to consider, as the Lord will be pleased to enable us, the words we'll find in Psalm 103 from verse 15, the 15th verse of Psalm 103. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. We have in this psalm here a very warm-hearted acclamation for God and for his work and for his kindness to the children of men. It begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and it ends also, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Reminds us of our duty of contentment and appreciation and thankfulness to God, to give thanks to God for his kindness to us in the terms of the everlasting gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is a mark of sin that there is discontent. There is a grieving under much that ought to have breed contentment in the heart. Satan was formed by God and placed in heaven, but he saw better things in his own view, and that was that he would be God, and that he would rule, and that he would reign, and that he and his forces would take over heaven and make another heaven for himself. And thus he engaged with God, a jealous God, "My glory I will not give to another," and he was cast out of heaven, the place prepared for him, for the devil and his angels. The Garden of Eden, our first parents, fell to the temptations of Satan. The Garden of Eden had been prepared. Even in an unfallen world, it was a very precious place and made particularly for the comfort and consolation of our first parents. But there was a discontent stirred up in their hearts by the temptation of Satan. And Eve saw the fruit that it was to be desired. What was there lacking in the Garden of Eden coming from the hand of God? That there was something else that she would need to have in order to be content. It was the beginning of that state of mind which is never content. Not being content with what the Lord had provided. Man is never content. Ever the desire to give, to desire and desire and desire again. But here we have the Spirit of grace. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I have in the first place in the words before us the brevity and uncertainty of life. It is compared, the life of man is compared to a flower in a field. It's not a flower in a garden where it might be cared for by the gardener or kept sheltered on every side from adverse conditions, be contrary to growth, but it is in the field, subject to wild animals coming, or domestic animals eating it. But particularly, we have here, in order to emphasize the frailty of man. The psalmist is led to consider the power of a breath of wind, bring an end to the flower. It's thought to be a reference to an allusion to a hot, dry wind, which was at certain seasons caused to blow in these parts, and that wind is of such a nature that it dries up the vegetation and leaves death behind it. But we have here the frailty of man, and for us, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You remember the history of Methuselah. We don't know much about him. We do know that he lived 969 years, and then he died. And those who lived so many years in the Old Testament, they all of them came to an end of their days. And the breath of the Almighty took them away, like flowers in the field. As for man, his days are as the grass. You remember the proud boast of the king in the Old Testament who moved around his palace and his the gardens in the palace, and he boasted to himself, all of this is my work, my wisdom, the result of my ways. But the Lord spoke from heaven and rebuked him and said that the kingdom was taken away from him. Against the pride of man, there is the frailty of man. And he was forced to lay aside the crown and the throne and turned out of doors into the field until he learned that there was a God in heaven. That's the nature of the fallen heart of man, to pride ourselves in our days and to establish ourselves in our ways in this world. Yet the word of God makes it plain. Our days are like the grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Dust returning to dust, and the Spirit to God that gave it. We have over against the frailty of the life of man, the frailty of man at the strongest here in this world. We have set over against it the mercy of God. But the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. The mercy of God is the covenant mercy, the kindness, the sovereign kindness of God toward a hell-deserving sinner. And God himself is a merciful God. You remember the heathen kings heard that the kings of Israel were merciful kings. It's something of the God that they professed about them. So they committed themselves into, although they had been enemies, they committed themselves from time to time into the hands of the kings of Israel because they were merciful kings. Well, in a far greater and more glorious way, we are to commit our ways into the hands of God as into the hands of a merciful God. That was blind Bartimaeus' cry when he heard that Jesus was passing by, and when he cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me," the Lord stopped and called for him, and when he came, he inquired concerning what is troubling him, and he said that I might be receive my sight, and the Lord in his abundant mercy performed a miracle and gave this poor man his sight. The mercy of God. The mercy of God is in and through and under all the record given to us in the Word of God concerning his deeds. Man fell from the estate wherein he was created by sinning against God. But the mercy of God had gone before. He was, that's what the old word prevent means. It means something that goes before, something that comes first. We are prevented, the psalmist says, by his mercies. That is, his mercies go before us. And the mercy of God went before, in the sense that Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, so that the mercy of God was a reality and secure and secured by the blood and righteousness of Christ from the very beginning of the world. The Lamb slain. The Lamb is the manner in which that mercy was expressed. Expressed in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As in the beginning of the account of God's mercy in the New Testament, we have John the Baptist making crooked places straight and rough places plain, and preparing the hearts of the people to receive that mercy which was to be had in and through the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And so he preaches the law, he preaches sin, he preaches the power of sin, he preaches the necessity of a Saviour, and he points to that Saviour saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He makes a thorough matter of the description and the power of sin. He said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. That is, the Pharisees might admit that the tree could be the better of pruning, perhaps cutting off this branch or trimming that branch. But John the Baptist was very clear that the axe was laid at the very root of the tree, that it was the heart that was wrong. Not merely what the heart chose, not merely what the heart didn't choose, not merely what the hand did, not merely where the feet led the sinner, but the heart itself, the root of the tree. Sin was a reality, and sin was a power in the unregenerate sinner which had to be dealt with at the very root. Nothing but a new heart, nothing but a clean heart, nothing but the prayer of the psalmist, "Create a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit me within." Then he pointed to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The provision of a Lamb who would be the fulfillment of all the shadows and types of the lambs that had been sacrificed first under the patriarchal system and then under the system of ceremonial law and the Mosaic law. And here was the one who was the very expression, who was the entire and full expression of the mercy of God, the the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. As it was with our first parents, the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And they depart from the garden with this hope that the seed of the woman would in the fullness of time come and bruise the head of the serpent and take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For this is how they were to remember the coming of the Messiah, of the appointed deliverer. It was by way of a sacrifice. They were to worship in his name. They were to offer up spiritual sacrifices. A broken and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. The mercy of God, therefore, was there at the very beginning of the world. And Christ, effectively, as far as the sins of his people were concerned, trusting in him, he was slain from the foundation of the world. So that when Abel offered a sacrifice, he offered it by faith in Jesus Christ, having an eye to the promise and an eye to the mercy of God, and his sacrifice was accepted. There were the necessary elements within it, that is, the death of the animal, and there was the shedding of the blood. These two gathered together in one because ceremonial law taught the children of Israel that life was in the blood. Where the blood is shed, there is the life. And where the blood is shed, there is the taking away of life. And that was the manner in which this mercy was to be demonstrated from the very beginning of the world down to the very end, until the fullness of that mercy was demonstrated, in that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that mercy that is spoken of here, but the mercy of God, is from everlasting to everlasting. The loving kindness of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The kindness of God, when the love and kindness of God to man appeared, is from everlasting to everlasting. You remember what the Lord said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And he displayed in that prayer his loving kindness and the loving kindness of the Father and the coming of the Spirit. Also, thy spirit is good, lead me to the land of uprightness. The loving kindness of the three in one God, the mercy of the three in one God toward lost and ruined sinners. And that mercy is from everlasting. And that is what the Lord is alluding to when he said, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. He came to the world with that knowledge. And having that transaction in eternity between the Father and the Son clearly in mind, and having in mind to discharge all righteousness in relation to that broken law which his people had broken and which he himself had taken upon himself to fulfill on their behalf, to be their surety, to be their righteousness, to be their wholeness, to be all that was required by law and justice on their behalf. And that was from everlasting. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting unto everlasting. You remember in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Apostle Paul begins by saying, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. 'Tis as though the Apostle Paul was carried away with the very thought of the everlasting mercy of God. He cannot speak too highly of it. It is as though he could hardly stop speaking about it. He goes on, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ. Mercy from everlasting. That's what the psalmist is glorying into the apostle. The Apostle Paul and David, sweet psalmist of Israel, are together standing upon the same ground, blessing God for the same mercy. Everlasting mercy, he says. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The covenant is from everlasting to everlasting. And that which was secured by the Lamb of God, who shed his blood on Calvary to seal this everlasting covenant, is too everlasting. That's what David says, and that's what Paul says, and that's what the Word of God says concerning this everlasting mercy. The mercy of God is from everlasting, a past eternity, and it is to everlasting, that is, a future eternity. So that we as sinners, where grace is, saved by grace here, having faith, as we read here, those that fear him, the Lord is, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. So Abel offers a sacrifice by faith, and Moses keeps the Passover by faith, and those that are of the Lord's people who were banished to Babylon in Nehemiah's day, they gather together, they pray, they say, we are of those who desire to fear thy name, the fear of the Lord, the desire to fear him. Faith in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is the mercy of God from everlasting, and it is to everlasting upon all them that fear him. The everlasting nature of in the future, from everlasting to everlasting, refers to the heaven that lies before every sinner saved by grace. It's to everlasting. The body is laid in the grave, the dust returns unto dust, but unto those that fear his name, God's mercy never ends. So soul goes to be with Christ, which is far better. The soul enters into peace. The soul enters into that state which is in direct contradistinction to a state here in this world, not as the grass, not as the flower of a field, that it flourishes for a time and then the wind passes over it and it is gone. But millennia pass over, the soul saved by Christ, and it goes on praising God, continues to be led into the fountains of living water, continues to praise the Lord. The same spirit as we have in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins, and to him be honour and glory and dominion and power, time without end, time without end. That's the everlasting covenant. Time without end. Ever finding a reason to praise God, ever having a heart full and ready to praise God. That's what they pray for in this world. That's what faith prays for. When thou hast enlarged my heart, I will run thy precepts way before. And that is the prayer that is answered in eternity, in the fullness of time and in the everlasting eternity. The heart is enlarged. The heart runs in the ways of God and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins. And to him be honour and glory and dominion and power, time without end. And to them that fear him is right, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And therefore what earnest attention we ought to give to this matter as to whether we fear the Lord, whether we have that faith by which the world is overcome, whether we have that faith by which Christ is apprehended, the faith of Abel, the way at the beginning of the world, and yet having a spiritual understanding of taking an animal and shedding its blood and offering that animal upon an altar to God with prayer. And through this, having an understanding of the life and death and everlasting mercy of God in Christ. That's a wonder of grace. That's what the fear of the Lord can do to ignorant, hell-deserving sinners. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. May the Lord add his blessing.